So, Father, we just thank you for just another awesome night, and we're believing that you're going to do some awesome things tonight. And we just thank you for this time that we can come together and just honor you and edify each other and pray for each other and just share the awesome things that you're doing in our lives. And we just thank you for that, Lord. And Lord, we just thank you. We bind up the enemy from any distractions. And we just thank you for just blessing this night and blessing everybody that is in the room tonight. So guide and direct our lips, Lord, and let them edify. And we just call this night blessed in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you, Lord. So we're just, Michael, you just want to share as far as what's going on as far as with the feast?
Yeah, give me a minute, will you?
All right, that's fine. Well, let's go ahead and see if anybody has any prayer requests, wants to pray for anybody, or needs prayer for themselves, or a family member, or anything like that.
Yeah, Tim?
Yes, Marlon.
Tracy asked us to call and request a prayer for a friend of hers. That's a lady, and she's got poor circulation. Her arteries and veins are plugged up, and they think they might have to amputate her leg. And she's got a lot of pain, and she'd just like to have prayer for her.
Okay.
I guess it was due to surgery on her vessels. It wasn't amputated leg, I'm mistaken, my wife said. And her name is Florence.
Florence? Okay.
Right.
All right. I mean, do you want to pray for her? Do you want me to pray? Or?
Go ahead. She asked if we'd have you pray.
Okay. So, Father, we just put our faith together and for Florence. And she's calling out. She's in a lot of pain, and she's got some issues in her legs. And the doctors are saying that she needs surgery. So, Father, right now, we just speak to those legs, and we just speak to those arteries and veins, and we command them to open up in the name of Jesus. And we just call whatever is restricting them to be open in Jesus' name. Whatever is causing the pain, that she is healed in the name of Jesus. And right now, we just visualize those legs. We visualize those arteries. And we just call those legs healed and that circulation restored in Jesus' name. And Lord, we thank you for blessing Florence. And we put our faith together. And we call her healed. And Lord, we just thank you for that. We give you the glory. And we praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. All right. Who else has got a prayer request?
Hey, Tim.
Hey, Charlie.
Yeah, I was wanting to get you all to pray for Linda. We've been aggravated for the last maybe 2-3 days. I believe it's a spirit of infirmity because we had prayer for Linda here about 3 days ago because her back was trying to go out, and she received healing immediately. And then a couple of days after that, her wrist started getting stiff. And if she tried to move her fingers or use the rotation of her wrist, the pain just really hurt her bad, you know. And today I was out just working around a little bit in the yard, and my left knee tried to freeze up or whatever, and I couldn't hardly bend it. And that's not me, no more than Linda's wrist is. You know, we don't have problems with stuff like that. And I really believe it's a spirit of infirmity that's attacking us. And we'd just like for everybody to pray for us.
All right. So let's all put our faith together for Linda and Charlie. And we serve an awesome God. He's going to do an awesome miracle right now. So, Father, we just thank you for the miraculous healing on Linda's back. And we just praise you for that, Lord. Just healing that, you know, right away. And now that lying devil is attacking her wrist. And we just forbid that in the name of Jesus. We just command that wrist, the stiffness, to go in the name of Jesus. We call the muscles and tendons to relax and call them healed. And we just command the pain to loose her now and go in the name of Jesus. And we forbid any infirmity in her body. And we just call those lying symptoms to get off her now in Jesus' name. We command that pain to go right now in the name of Jesus. And Lord, we praise you that she was healed at that cross and it's already done. And this is just a lie of the devil. And we just know that. And Lord, we just come against this attack on Charlie's knee. We forbid that in Jesus' name. And Lord, we just thank you for just taking the stiffness out of his knee, any pain out of his knee. And we call his knees to be restored and just working perfectly the way you designed them. So we command them to line up with the Word of God right now. And we just speak and we just see those knees right now and they are healed in the name of Jesus. And the pain is gone in Jesus' name. And it must not return anymore. And we just praise you and thank you for that, Lord. We just put our faith together. We all say amen. Thank you, Lord. Praise you, Father.
Let me pray a little bit too, Tim.
Go ahead, Dan.
Dear Father, we ask you to look over Linda and... was it the first name again?
Charlie?
I can't remember. Charlie. Yeah, thank you. Linda and Charlie. If there's any witchcraft going on, Father, we ask that you send your angels there to cancel off the assignment of the enemy right now. We bind it and don't receive it. And any of those that are sending it our way, Lord, we ask that it fall to the ground at this point and that you give us the hedge of protection that we need right now against the enemy. We ask this in the name of Jesus Christ, the Savior. Amen.
Hey, Tim.
Hey, Charlie.
I just want to give you a good report. Praise God. The stiffness left my leg. I mean, it's just as limber as the other one. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. You are awesome. You are awesome. We love you, Lord. We love you. Praise you, Father. Praise you. Thank you, Lord. All right. Anybody else? Need a healing.
Tim, I have a friend named Tim Dominique, and he's trying to give up on life. He's Baptist. I'm praying for him. His feet are black, and his toes are black from infections or gangrene or whatever. He's not in good shape. His heart, he has a pacemaker, and he had a stroke and heart trouble. He also struggles with demons and bipolar, similar to my wife and I trouble. The trouble we used to have, we're claiming victory now. But I'd like someone to pray for Tim, and that it be soon so he doesn't pass away under judgment. I pray that he would concentrate, you know, on repentance and being with Jesus instead of, you know, trying to find a way out. If somebody could help me pray for it.
Okay. Well, let's. I'll pray, and then if you want to add anything to it, you can go ahead and do that. So, Father, right now, we just come together and we just praise your name, Lord. And we just looked up this Tim Stephanie Dominic. And Lord, you know what is going on in him right now, Lord. He seems like he's under the curse. He's dealing with a lot of things. And Lord, we just ask that you just grant him a renewed mind. You grant him repentance. Lord, I just ask that you just reveal yourself to him in a dream. Send your angels to him, Lord, to get his attention. I just rebuke the spirit of death off him right now. And I just come against that spirit of giving up and that lie that he's believing. And we just come against that lying spirit that's lying to his head. And Lord, we just trying to get him to give up, and we just command that demon to close its mouth now in the name of Jesus. And Father, we just speak to his heart right now, Lord, and we just call that heart to be strengthened. And we just come against the infection in his body right now. And we rebuke that infection. We call that infection to die in the name of Jesus. And to loose his body and get out of his body right now. Spirit of gangrene, you go in the name of Jesus. We forbid you. We forbid you from manifesting in his body right now. And Lord, we just ask that you just... draw him to you, Lord. Just open up the word to him. Give him a hunger for truth, Lord. Just, Lord, if there's any unforgiveness there, we just ask you just expose that, that you would just show him what the cause of the curse is. If there's anything he needs to repent of, if he's in any sin, any hidden sin, anything there, Lord, we just ask you, just give him a conviction on his heart, Lord, and just bring him in to your truth, Lord, and just allow him to get right with you. And Father, we just thank you for just the awesome things you're going to do in his life, Lord. We pray for his salvation, Lord, and we bind up any religious spirits on him right now. Any lying spirits, any spirits that have him in complacency, any spirits that are speaking to him thinking that he, you know, is okay, and any lying doctrines, we just call them to be exposed right now in the name of Jesus, Lord. We just thank you, Lord, for opening up your truth. We come against that bipolar, and we bind that devil right now in the name of Jesus. We forbid it. Lord, we just call the mind of Christ over him right now. We just ask, Lord, that you just give him a hunger for that word. You open it up, that he sees the truth, and the truth will set him free. And we praise you for that, Lord. And Lord, we just ask if Wade is supposed to speak into his life or say anything, you just open the door, that he'll cry out to him, that he'll ask, that he'll be used of you, Lord, that you just use Wade, but you'll open the door, that he does not have to push it open, that this Tim's going to cry out and ask a question in that. Mm-hmm. And we just ask you to just give Wade just wisdom as far as to be led of you and what to speak. And we praise you for that in Jesus' name. Amen. You want to add anything to that, Wade?
That was sufficient for me. I don't want to ever muddy the waters, you know.
Okay. Well, we're just standing in faith that God's gonna, you know, those devils are bound up, and that the Lord's gonna open up his eyes and just bring him to truth. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Jesus. Thank you,
God. All right, who else needs a healing or wants to pray or got somebody on their heart?
We share something. These last few days, since Rosh Hashanah up till now, I've been asking the Lord to expose, you know, whatever's inside of me to come out, you know, because I, you know, you want to get clean. Not that I wanted to use this for a legalistic point of view, you know, to fall in a Jewish holidays and tradition, but, you know, I thought it would be just something where you could just take the time and reflect and let the Lord show you things. And then for me, what the Lord has shown me, the things that I had to overcome was a critical heart. And what happened to me was a brother was sharing the other day, and we were amongst other people that were Christians, and I thought, when he was sharing at the time, I thought, you know, this doesn't seem really very, have me really touching that. It's anything that's edifying. It's not really, it's just kind of, yeah, looking at things the way they are in the world a little bit, and kind of, you know, he's pulling some stuff in. I just, at the time, it just didn't, it wasn't striking me, but I thought, well, you know, it's just where he's at, where he's at. And then when this was going through my heart, shortly after he got done, then another brother started talking, and the other brother is a pretty mature brother, and I have a lot of respect for him. He started, you know, praising this guy and talking about some of the things he was going over, and said, hey, trying to find your thoughts or things, and he just was, and it kind of lowered me down. I thought, oh, you know, where was my heart at this? I was really being not really very kind about this. I was, my heart wasn't there in the right way towards this brother. And I got convicted about it. And then when I had a chance, I opened up, of course, Esau, and I had to go out a random verse, and the Lord brought this up to me real quick. You know, I always know the Lord's talking when he does this, because when he hits you hard, you know he's talking to you. He brought up Psalms 38:20, and it said, they are also that run the evil for good are adversaries unto me, because I follow the thing that is good. And, you know, I didn't have to say a word, but it was my heart that thought this, and I was going with it until I had the correction, and I could see, oh, you know, this is something I've been struggling with. Maybe it was like, do I have this critical heart with other people all the time? Because you know how we can listen to people talk, and we're forming our opinions, and we're analyzing their thoughts, and we're thinking about what they're saying, and we're wondering, well, especially if we're around other brothers, and we're thinking, does this belong here sometimes? We're going to go in that direction, and it's, you know what? We've got no right to go there. It's not us to be the judge in that way. But I was doing that in my heart. And the Lord brought correction to me real quick in this way. It made me really feel low, because I'm thinking, you know, all my life this has been a problem probably with me, because I could see I picked this up from my father. He's got that instant analyze people and judge them and talk about this and this and this about them, or they're wrong or whatever. And I, you know, this is one of those things that I have to look and say, I don't own this. I don't want this. This is not Christ-like in me. You know, it's not going to benefit the kingdom. I can't even have it in my heart, because in my heart, that's how they speak in heaven. It's not with our mouth anymore. Even though nobody else knew this was what I was thinking, it was in my heart. You know, so I was asking the Lord to cleanse me of this and take this out away from me, looking for those things that need to be cleansed out of me. I don't know if anybody else took advantage of this time like that. It was kind of searching themselves, trying to find where they're maybe falling down and not meeting the expectations of the kingdom life that the Lord's calling us to for holiness. But anyways, I wanted to confess that to the body, you know, because I don't want this to be in me. But one of the things I was listening to recently with David, it's about confessing your sins. And it's a very important thing that we do that amongst the body. If we want to be free from things, that's the opportunity. This is how you turn yourself loose from sin, is you find out what it is that's maybe that's been in your heart that you, maybe with the Lord finally brings it up and shows you where you need to correct this. And one of the ways to correct it is bring it out, talk about it, you know, so that Satan has no way to hold on to you and hold that in you and hold that against you. And if you bring it in the light, then it shines in the light. You know, I don't know about you, but I want to kind of be like Jesus. I was thinking about this. You know, Jesus was able to walk on the water. How could he do that? I mean, he had nothing holding him down. I think we have to do that way too. We want nothing in this world to hold us down. So if there's something that you want to talk about or confess, no matter how heinous, and I could talk about some heinous things too, you know, go ahead and just do it. You know, just get it off our hearts. And that's what I wanted to share to
you. Amen. Tim, can I say something here?
Oh, yes.
David, you brought out a fine point here about gossip. Gossip does one thing. It divides. It divides the body. When you talk about a brother, and I'm not, I'm talking about an instance that has happened here too many times in the past. And what happens, you go behind somebody's back and you talk about them to someone else. It puts a ill feeling in the person that you talked with, heart, and that causes faction. And you will be taken out of the body of Christ so quick it'll make your head spin. You'll wonder, what in the world did I do? Most of the people that do that don't even realize that that's what happened. That gossip is such a abomination to the Lord that he talks about it in the New Testament many times. And so David is right. Do not allow gossip to come out of your mouth or to allow someone to gossip to you about another brother. It's Matthew 18:15 through 17 tells us that. And so it's over in Titus 2. Y'all know the scriptures. David's been over those 100 times, if not more. But that gossip is an illicit thing that comes out of your mouth when you allow it to happen. Some don't think that gossip is part of faction. It is the start of faction. And that we don't need to carry it on. It's critical. It's critical. It's judgmental. You don't know both sides of stories that that has happened. You know, we've had instances where people would start talking about somebody and they only knew one side of the story. And when you find out both sides of the story, you find out that your side is wrong, you know, most of the time. And so that's why the Lord does not like gossip. He does not like faction. He abhors it. It's an abomination to him because it divides the body. And so we don't need to do that, and we need to repent of it and get away from it. Amen. All right. Also, by the way, the days of awe is over today, the 24th. This is the last day. We believe that it is. And, of course, Yom Kippur is over tomorrow at sundown. And what else do you want to know, Tim? Or what did somebody else want to know?
I think that was it. Gail, did you have a question as far as you'd ask a question as far as when something ended?
Yeah, no, that's, you've answered it for me. Thank you.
Yeah.
Okay.
I didn't get 10 full days of forgiveness in, but I'll just have to figure out something.
I guess you got some homework to do, right?
Yeah, I got some work to do.
You know, to this time that we're in right now, it's the time to repent today. It's the time to repent, confess your sins, get it behind you, because today is the day that the Lord either judges you or he cleanses you. This is the day. And so there you go. Lord, I just repent of all my sins, and I ask you to take it away from me, every bit of it. Cleanse my heart, cleanse my mind, cleanse my body, cleanse everything away from me, Lord of sin, in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. And the Lord will do it. Don't go into this next phase with sin in your life. Repent of it. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Well, you know what repent means? That means to change. Hey, don't go back to it. Praise God. That's what we want to do. All right, Tim, I'm through.
No, that's good as far as the you know, bringing up the gossip, because that's you know, sometimes we just, you know, we get with somebody and we want to have something to talk about. And a lot of times, if it's not the weather, we want to talk about somebody else. And, you know, did you hear what happened to so and so, or you know, whatever it is, and I've really learned that there is definitely two sides to every story, and it's you hear a story through the glasses of that person. And it depends on how it affects that person, if they were hurt by it or whatever it is. I mean, the whole thing can be skewed. And we've seen this quite a few times. And even talking with couples, doing, you know, some counseling and a few things like that, where, you know, one spouse will, you know, say something one way and the next spouse will say something, you know, just totally different. And You got to be very careful, because if you take sides, and that's really what that gossip spirit wants to do. It wants to take sides. You know, a lot of times, what it's trying to do is you know, make somebody look bad to lift somebody else up, or expose somebody, you know, what somebody did, so that the other person looks better. And it's just it's a dividing spirit. It's not Christ. And we got to be like Trish and I this morning opened up to Proverbs, and we were just reading each proverb and then really meditating on it. And some of those proverbs could cut right through you. I mean, we were reading in some proverbs, and it just talks about that we need to be of little words. And, you know, you read some of these proverbs and you know, the difference between the righteous and the fool, and it's, you know, it's pretty cutting. And sometimes, you know, some of the descriptions, you can see where you've been a fool. And it's just a matter, when you read something like that, see it, and, you know, repenting for that, and you know, just kind of moving on. But yeah, Michael, that's a good you know, good thing that you know, if we see it, we just have to just change our ways, because we're supposed to. You know, lift up and edify the body, and we're supposed to, you know, believe for people and believe in faith and speak the promise and not speak the curse on them. And what comes out of our mouth has got to be in love. And if we're not edifying, if we're tearing somebody down, then that's not in love. And you know, so it's just, and it can happen in the body. You know, the world is full of it. And sometimes we go to work and we get around that, and that spirit gets on us. So we got to really be careful to, you know, watch what we listen to, watch what we believe, and watch what we repeat. Because the Lord showed me that if somebody tells us something and it's a lie, if it's been twisted, if it's been made to sound, you know, build that person up, or the way they saw it, and maybe it is the way they saw it, but it might not be the truth, and we go and repeat that, then we become a liar. You know, we're just repeating that lie. So it's just a very slippery slope. You know, we'll get into some situations like that. So, all right. All right, who else has got something like to pray about, like to confess, get off your heart, get prayer for?
Yeah.
Hey, Wade.
I'm kind of in the middle between the two things. My ask prayer request for Tim, whether it was good or bad, for Tim Dominique. I did mention some things that should not be, you know, that would would be gossip otherwise. And except I don't know how to pray for people, ask for prayer for people, or to pray for them just myself. When if I bring up something that's contrary to them, I'm in error. Yet things are serious. I don't know how to make that work.
Well,
I don't want to be in sin. Go ahead.
Right, but I mean, basically, you weren't gossiping. I mean, your heart is for him to be healed.
Yeah.
And what you were speaking is what's going on in his body, with the infection, the gangrene, his heart, you know. And the things he's dealing with, the demons he's dealing with, as far as the, you know, the bipolar and wants to give up and stuff like that. I mean, that's not gossip, because your heart is, you know, hey, this is what this guy's dealing with. Let's pray for him. Okay.
Okay. I was concerned about that.
Right. No, there is. No, that's. I mean, I know your heart is right. Okay. There are people that do sort of gossip, as far as you know, when they bring out a prayer. You know, we just got to be real careful. You know, especially I didn't say anything. What you did is right, but you know, let's pray for, you know, Betty, you know, she's living with that guy, and, you know, there's, you know, this, and, you know, and you go into this, you know, you just expose all their dirty laundry, but your motive is expose the laundry, not necessarily pray for that person, you know, then it really depends on your motive and your heart, but I know your heart was, I mean, this guy's, you know, he's under a false doctrine, and he's got some major things going on in his body and some major things going on in his life, and he wants to die, and your heart is, man, he needs prayer. Let's pray for him. So I didn't see that as gossip. I don't know. Does anybody else have anything else to bring forth?
Yeah, I can give you something. I was in a church once, and I was almost considered to be an elder, even though I wasn't a real elder, because we know elders are. The other guy that I was associated with in this church as in a leadership position, he fell. And what he did was he started seeing a girl in a church, and all of a sudden he spent the night with her one time. Well, his roommate came in the church that next day on Sunday and exposed it. He started exposing it to us. Said, hey, this guy slept with so-and-so. He spent the night. It's like it felt like dirty laundry. It wasn't like he wasn't trying. I mean, it bothered him that he slept with her, but he didn't do the right thing. He should have just pulled the pastor or one of us aside, and we could have got with the brother and talked to him about this, you know, because it's not something you're supposed to do. But you just don't go in there and start exposing people's dirty laundry to everybody. That's the difference. You can't go in there and talk about somebody's sin just because they did it. That's not right. That's the difference. Now, you're not coming out here and talking about somebody's blatant sin and exposing them. That's where it would be wrong. But if we come together and say, hey, you know, this person's got a problem. We need to pray. He's falling, and he's not falling in the wrong direction. He needs prayer. And if you would have took it maybe to an elder and said, you know, and this is a close person that the elder knew, and even then, it's probably a good idea to talk to that person first if it's something really bad. But just to go out and expose their dirty laundry in the church or in the congregation is not right. And that's not something you did. So don't worry about that. It's not, you're not doing anything. It's you're helping us understand how we're praying. Now, that's a difference. But like Tim was saying, you're not bringing something out there that's just out there that nobody needs to be hearing. And that's something that, sure, it can be dealt with, but it's not something you just talk about in public. It's something that's, you know, it's got to be dealt with in a delicate way. Granted, if somebody has a position of leadership in the body, and if they're doing something that's immoral, that has to be dealt with, and it has to be exposed so that others don't do the same thing. But that's people in a leadership position. That's a true elder. I mean, in the body, in the scripture, it talks about an elder. Now, we're talking elder, pastor, prophet, evangelist, apostle, or teacher. We're not talking the body of Christ. The body of Christ, you have to deal with them. At first, it'd be a good idea to hopefully to go to that person if they got something heinous and try to talk to him about it. And if he doesn't, then bring some other brother. And then at that point, if they don't want to repent, then you can do more as a body. But just to expose somebody's sin out in the open right out like this, if it's really bad, no, we can't do that. But if it's not necessarily sin we're exposing, but it's about helping them out because of where they're at, that's different. We're not trying to demean him. You know, I hope that, does that make a little sense? I'm trying to show how I've seen it come at me, and I didn't appreciate it, and I thought, I didn't feel good about it at the time.
Yeah, that's, actually, that case that you were just, you know, in that situation you just shared, I mean, how that should be handled is that that brother should have went to the other brother, and, you know, it's, you know, Matthew 18 and 15, if thy brother sin against thee, go show him his fault between thee and him alone, and if he hears thee, he's gained a brother. But if he hears thee not, take with thee one or two more, that at the mouth of two witnesses or three, every word may be established. And so in a case like that, where his brother was in sin, he should have went to him first. And if the guy would, you know, repented and says, yeah, you're right, I'm wrong, you know, I repent, you know, I just, you know, I'm not going to do that anymore, then he won the brother. And but if he, you know, rebukes you or makes an excuse or something like that, then you take a witness, you know, another person or two, and you go sit down with them and you, you know, show them the word and, you know, where he's out of line and stuff like that. And then if he doesn't, you know, if he refuses to hear them, then it's told on to the church. And if he refuses to hear the church also, let him be unto thee as a Gentile or a publican, you know. So that's the proper way to handle something like that. And that's actually the proper way to handle gossip. If somebody comes to you and, you know, starts telling you, you know, how somebody else is in sin or something like that, you basically say, hey, have you taken that to them? And most of the time it's no. And then you let them know that you need to go take that to them. And then you let it go, but you don't listen to it, you know, as far as that. So, but, yeah, that's the proper way. Something like that should be handled. But when you take it out of line, you take it right to the church and you expose them to the whole church. I mean, what you're doing is, I mean, you're just, you know, you're opening up the door for all those people to judge this brother, and you're going to put them all in sin because they're judging him, you know, as far as that, and they haven't even given him a chance to see the error of his ways and repent, you know. So, but that's why we got to, you know, try to stay in line with the scriptures. And when you do that, it works. It really does. I've seen it work both ways. I mean, I've, you know, and the thing is if a brother really wants to be an overcomer and you take something to him, or a sister, you know, you see something, you take it to him, the ones that really want to be overcomers will see it, they'll repent, they'll thank you for it, and the ones that want to, you know, just be led by their flesh and make excuses and or come against you for, you know, exposing it or whatever it is, you know, the Lord's going to take care of them as far as that. I've pointed stuff out to other brothers, and they've repented and thanked me for it. And I've pointed stuff out to others that they came and rebuked me and wouldn't talk to me or whatever. because, you know, they might be dealing with rejection or whatever it was. But as long as you're in line with the Lord, you know, you can't be in fear of man or anything like that, because your heart is, you know, you see that, you know, they're stepping over the line, and it's, you know, it's, they're going to, you know, if they don't change their ways, you're going to end up in hell. But, you know, you just got to do it with the right heart. Amen.
Tim?
Yes, Linda?
To add to this good instruction, you know, I've asked the Lord to perfect me and to fine-tune and just, you know, polish the corners so that I can grow up 100% fruit. Well, a few days ago, our thoughts are as important, you know, where gossip is concerned, as what we say. And but anyway, I was looking at my neighbor's yard, and I was they were pouring concrete, and I was thinking they should do it another way, and just in my mind, like, that would be a smarter way to do it, you know, it would be more beneficial to them. God got on to me, and he said, that is none of your business. You know, like, there wasn't anything wrong with what they were doing, and I was just only thinking of this. And he corrected me just to tend to my own business and concentrate on overcoming, you know, and growing up in the Lord. And I thought, you know, as a man thinketh, so is he. And so, like, when that would go along with when we think of gossip, maybe that someone else said, our minds, that's a real sin. And so the Lord corrected me, and I was just so thankful because, you know, I was just thinking it. I mean, like, just thinking it as I was going by. So, but as a man thinketh, so is he. So God is really helping me be careful what I say and what I think. So that's all.
No, that's a really good point, because sometimes we want to give an opinion, and if somebody hasn't asked us and we're out there giving opinions, we got to be very careful, because what is that opinion based on? You know, is it based on pride in us that we know better, or this is the way you should do it? Or is it based on, is there judgment in there, like being critical of what they're doing, and you're giving them opinion, you know, how to do it the right way? Or is it, you know, based in pride, as far as, this is what I know, let me tell you what I know? And I've kind of learned that we just have to be careful. And I've learned that unless somebody asks, or, you know, there's an open door, we got to be very careful as far as when we start spewing out opinions. Amen.
Or thinking opinions.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I thought that was really interesting. I thought I was being a good girl, and of course I was, but boy, I'm watching my thoughts better, you know? And I'm just so thankful he brought that to my attention. I, you know, we know as a man, you know, like if a man lusts after a woman, he's already sinned in his heart. I would do the same thing with judging my neighbor, you know, and it was pride, really, because I thought it would be better another way in my mind. So I'm just, God is really helping us.
Well, that's all the perfection. That's how he's perfecting us.
Yeah.
When he speaks to you in there, and all of a sudden you get this conviction, like, oh, I see it, Lord.
Yeah. You know, but I'm just so thankful. That seems so little, you know, but not to God. He wants us to think like he thinks, and he doesn't think like that. So anyway, he's helping us slowly but surely. I'm growing up.
Amen. Well, that's, you know, that's really, because that's our thoughts, our mind, what's up there is really what the word says is our heart, and what's in our heart comes out of our mouth. And the Lord knows what's in our mind. So, you know, once we start monitoring what's coming out of our mouth, then he starts working on what we're thinking and what, you know, what the thoughts are.
Yeah.
And,
nothing had come out of my mouth. It was just strictly in my thoughts. And I thought, good grief. Okay, I'm repent, and I'm not going to do that anymore, hopefully. You know, I'll be quick to repent if I do. In my thoughts.
That's good. See, that's all part of that perfection. Just continue working on us to bring us more into the image of Christ. So that's really good.
Yeah, that's kind of what I was talking about earlier when I was, my thought, it was in my heart that came out, and it came out of my mouth, but I still, the Lord convicted me right there and then let me know real quick I shouldn't be thinking I was wrong. But at the same time, sometimes it's just our flesh still coming out. You know, it's definitely the flesh. And we're going to have that schizophrenic thing going on once in a while inside of us, you know, so... not that I'm trying to condone it, but they're saying we're still doing that Romans 7:8 thing where we're still battling with that flesh, and the Lord's going to help us overcome as long as we're against it. You know, we're not rolling with it. We're trying to shut it down. He's on our side.
Yeah, that's... I've been trying to do that more and more, is really start taking inventory of what my mind is thinking about. And especially like when you go out shopping in the world or something like that, you know, or you're at people around work and that, You really got to take your thoughts captive, and sometimes our thoughts are so familiar, we don't see the judgment in it, or we don't see the pride in there, we don't see those little things that are unpleasing to the Lord. And you know, but when we slow down and really start thinking about, you know, taking our thoughts captive, and usually when we have to do that is when we're out of the rest. Is when we're out of the rest and we're wound up about something or frustrated about something or just don't have the peace, sometimes we just have to stop and figure out what just happened. You know, what lie are you believing? What thought did you just have? Type things. And I'm really seeing with me, I've shared this before, but I'm really seeing in the last couple of days, is I've been getting up. There's a few things, you know, I'm just trying to get back into a kind of a groove. When I went to Ohio and everything was going on, I just kind of got out of, you know, I just got kind of sidetracked a little bit. And I was getting up and I would, you know, there was a couple things I was watching on eBay, and I would go check that, and then I would check my emails, or I would get right into a Bible study, and I wouldn't even pray. And I was just totally out of the rest, and I was going through some trials, and it's just the Lord just keeps bringing stuff up. But I'm seeing where I'm still being attacked as far as just getting into judgment, and I just have something. I've been working with the company, and there's somebody in there that is one of the higher echelons, and I'm really trying to, you know, to help them out in a situation. And I called this person up, and I had to drop off some information to him. And I told him I was going to stop in and drop it off to him. And I ended up, I got to the office. I went in, I looked in, and they weren't in their office. And I asked for him, and they said, oh, you know, he's down the hall. He'll be right here. And I said, okay, fine. I'm just standing in the lobby. And And this person walked right past me. I mean, literally 3 foot away from me. I'm standing in this lobby, just walked right past me, didn't give me eye contact, didn't say hello, didn't say anything. Went into their office and sat down and got on their computer, and I stood there for 15 or 20 minutes. And they weren't on the phone, anything like that. They were just on their computer, and they knew I was standing in the lobby because their secretary just told them I was out there. And finally, I was, you know, your thoughts start hitting. It's like, man, this is like, what's he doing? This is rude. This is that. This is, you know, you start getting this judgment. And finally, I just said, I just gave what I was dropping off to the secretary. I said, you know, if he's got any questions, just have him give me a call. And I left there, and honestly, I was a little stirred up because it was the way I was treated. It was like there was just no sense. You know, it's just, to me, it just didn't make common sense. But the bottom line is, this is my trial, and here I'm still dealing. You know, I'm trying to cast down the thoughts and stuff like that, and Trish noticed. She's like, "You're wound up. What's going on?" And I, you know, it was like, man, this situation happened, and I just couldn't let it go. And so finally, Trish was like, you need to pray for that person. You just got to pray, give it to the Lord. And I knew this whole thing happened is just to, you know, that's what the Lord does. He puts these people in front of us to stir that little, you know, there's still a little spur left in there. We need to expose that spur. And so I saw where that was my trial. Just somebody walking past me, not acknowledging me getting into judgment, having to deal with that, and then you get lost in your head. And this morning, I ended up, I was realizing that I wasn't just getting quiet with the Lord first thing in the morning. And I used to do that all the time and just, you know, just to... So I got up this morning, and I could feel I was just a little edgy this morning when I got up. I just wasn't, because, you know, sometimes we get attacked in our sleep and that. We kind of wake up with a little heaviness on us, and that happens with me from time to time. And I got up, and I just came in to a room, sat in a chair, and I just got quiet, got my eyes on the Lord. And there was some thoughts in there. There was a few things. I just gave it to the Lord. And then all of a sudden I got to where there wasn't a thought in my head. And I was just like, there was just a peace there. There was just a, you know, just, it was like, yeah, I'm back into the rest. And so I just, you know, continued to pray in the Spirit a little bit and then I got into the Word. And we got to get to that point. We got to really, really watch where our thoughts are, because now we're kind of controlling what's coming out of our mouth, but now the Lord is working in, you know, the thoughts. And it could be just something so simple as somebody walking by you and you just have little, you know, attitude type towards them. And, you know, if you don't deal with it, you're going to lose your rest. You're going to, you know, you're going to be in a, you know, crazy situation. So, but yeah, that's where he's got us right now. And it's awesome. So, but I look back at where I used to be. I used to get up in the morning and I'd get in the shower and I'd be having arguments going on in my head, you know, against people and stuff like this, you know, and I just look back at that where I used to be, and it was like, man, that's bondage. And now the Lord is just working in me to get those little spurs, those little things out. So it's kind of cool. So anybody else have any thought on that? Or?
Yeah, I got a few little things. The thing about these little trials that he puts us through, when we overcome them, they won't be as bad the next time. But if we don't overcome them, guess what's going to happen? It's going to come around again, and it's going to be right there until we get it right. I know we all know that, but we always, I know it, and yet sometimes kind of like Tim, you know. I might see somebody and it might be a little irritation there. And if I don't cast it down right then, you know, then it becomes an issue. And then you've gone into condemnation, not condemnation, but judgmental, judgment and critical spirit gets on you. And then next thing you know, it's a problem. So yeah, that's what the Lord is doing. He's fine tuning all of us. And, you know, we misstep, and that's okay. We've gone a little bit further this time than we did the last time. And, you know, the Lord knows that, and he sees it. And we don't want to compound the negative so much as exhort the positive. And the positive is that we just learn from what we do and we step forward. And if we stumble the next time, we've stumbled a little bit further along the road. And then we get up, we go on, you know, and until we don't stumble anymore in that area, and we keep going. And that's what God's talking about, from glory to glory. You know, we walk along that narrow road, and there might be some sidetracks here and there, but we come back, we get back on the road, and here we go. So, yeah, we need to. And I like to exhort people and to lift people up. When I see that in this body right here, it's heartening, because that's what God wants us to do. He wants us to lift each other up. He wants us to lift our brothers and sisters up when we know that they've been down and they're on the way back up, and we need to encourage them and pray for them. And that's what God has his brothers. That's why he calls us brothers and sisters. Because, you know, we're more brothers and sisters in many, many areas than our blood brothers and sisters. At least that's the way I feel anyway, because we have more in common than we do with our natural brothers and sisters that are not saved, that are out there in the apostate religion possibly, or whatever. Because we're all striving for the same thing. We're all striving to be that, to please the Lord and to walk in the steps of Jesus as he told us to do. And so, yeah, it's lifting each other up and encouraging one another and talking like we're doing tonight to find out those little twerks and tweaks and things that God is doing in each one of us so that all of us can learn. I just loved it when David came on and started talking about the gossip, because that's good. That's good, because it teaches everybody in here, you know, that particular thing. And then when somebody else comes up with something else, it teaches us about that particular thing. And it might be going on in somebody's life and they didn't know. But then they know. Now they know. Now you're held accountable. And so we just get up and go. Amen. I hope I wasn't rambling too much.
Awesome. Thank you.
No, that's good. That's good. Because I really learned that when I went up to Ohio for the funeral, and I was just around at the, you know, the funeral home and afterwards, you know, the reception or whatever they had. And I was just really seeing that it was all the stories. It was gossip. It was slander. It was making fun of others to get a laugh. And I was just listening to the conversations going on, telling stories to pump self up, and telling stories of how tough I was. And it was all edifying the flesh. It was de-edifying other people, and it was just, that's all I heard. It was just so many stories and that going on. I was really seeing, you know, the curse of the world, that, you know, none of that was based in love. None of it was based in forgiveness. none of that was, it was all critical, and it was all, it wasn't lifting anybody up. It was pushing people down and making fun and stuff like that. And that's really what the world does. And to them, that's pretty normal.
You know, Tim, just to tell on myself a little bit, 3 or 4 years ago, I noticed that some of the brothers were kidding another brother. And so I, you know, naturally got in on the deal too and started kidding him. And the brother came to me and told me, you know, he was hurt by the things that I had said to him and about him in front of the other people. And I'd had no idea that he was hurt by it. I just thought it was all in jest. But I learned something then that not to do that anymore with him. Or and you know, sometimes we get carried away, and I realize that. But I learned that you have to be very sensitive about other people's feelings until they mature enough to where they get alligator hide like some of us have, and that stuff doesn't bother you. So you don't know when you, like Tim was talking about, you don't know when you talk about somebody or make jesting fun of somebody in front of them how it hurts them sometimes. And that's a sin as well. So, and of course, we're supposed to be dead to the flesh, but we're all growing up at a different pace. We're all growing up at a different pace. And so we have to be very careful as one that is growing up, how we treat other people as well. And I'm learning that as well as everybody else. And that's just one of my takes on it. I found out real quick that you just can't kid around with some people that are still growing in Christ. So I don't know if that made sense, but that's what happened to me, and I realized it right off the bat, and we changed, and we've become good friends. And so there you go.
No, that's a good point, because I mean, honestly, Michael and I mean, we enjoy, you know, just kind of joking around, cutting up, just having a good time. But I've learned you just got to be, you know, very careful as far as you can't get worldly in, you know, what you're saying, and you got to be careful with the people. You know, once you know somebody or get to know somebody, you know, you can kind of see where their sense of humor is and stuff like that. But it's, you know, just joking around, having a good time, you can hurt people. You know, if it's just, you know, you just got to be very sensitive. You can have fun, but you just got to be very, very careful as far as what, you know, what you're saying. Because it can turn worldly very, very easily. And I know with Michael and myself, every once in a while we'll say something, and once it leaves the mouth, it's too late, you know? You wish you could just grab it back.
I've been corrected more than once.
And that's when the humility starts, you know?
Yeah, it is. That humility sets in, and then condemnation sets in, and here you go on a spiral downhill, you know? No, it's all good. It's all good. We're all learning.
So that's it. You just get on your knees, start repenting right there, you know?
Yeah, fall flat on your face and start repenting. Ashes and sackcloth, boy, I'm telling you.
Oh, man. Yeah,
it's a learning curve.
Oh, it is. It is. I remember the first time I was still in the church. I came to the Lord, and my challenge at that time was I was around contractors, and I mean their language is is very colorful, and their jokes are very colorful in that. And I was at a golf outing or something, and I was around a bunch of contractors, and they're all telling jokes. And I ended up telling an off-color joke because they're all telling jokes. And when that joke came out, or the punchline came out, I felt every hair on my body stand up to attention. And there was just such a conviction that came over me from the Lord. It was like I knew I stepped over the line. And but he just brought a correction. It was like there was just such a conviction there, and I just started repenting. It was like, oh, I'm acting just like the world. You get around them, and you just start acting like them. But it was such a conviction. I still remember that day. It was like, oh my goodness. So, but yep. We need to be.
Can I tell them myself?
Sure.
Well, I was sitting in a conference with two pastors now, and I've only been a Christian about 3 years. And we were talking and you know, just really having coffee and sitting around talking around. And I was telling a story about something that had happened to me or something. I don't even remember what it was about. But a bomb came out of my mouth at that time in front of these two pastors, you know. And boy, there was complete silence. And I looked at them, and I couldn't think of anything else to say, so I just started laughing. And they started laughing. And it was the funniest thing. It was the funniest. Of course, I had to repent, but they understood where I was and didn't want me to feel that uncomfortable. It was awesome. I mean, I learned a lesson that day of forgiveness in true Christians' hearts, you know. They went along with me. And of course, they told me afterwards, you know, you need to repent and do all this kind of stuff. But I learned something about being weak to the weak.
Awesome. All right, why doesn't somebody else share here? What's on your heart? Does anybody have a praise report? Anything they want to brag on the Lord about? Actually, I can brag on the Lord a little bit here. So, last night, I usually go to bed around, I try to be in bed by 11 o'clock, and sometimes it's 10 o'clock, but because I'm usually up at, you know, 5, 6 in the morning, so I try to crash out early. And there's times where once I fall asleep, if I wake up, a lot of times I'm just up. And there's times I wake up in the middle of the night and I just know I'm not going back to sleep. I might as well just get up and go read the Word until I get tired again. And so, like, once you know, sometimes, you know, if I hear Trish or something like that, I'll just kind of keep my eyes closed and want to go right back to sleep. And last night, Trish, I think it was like 12:30, 1 o'clock, and I think it was like 12:30 or something like that. She woke me up, and she says, "Hey, you just had a text from your cousin," and this is the cousin I shared, you know, as far as at the funeral, and you know where I had lunch with them and that, and then at the funeral, I ended up just all I did was give them a Bible and say, "Hey, I got a present for you." And I didn't say anything else. I didn't call him up after that. I just gave him the Bible, and I says, "If you got any questions, call me." And I haven't heard from him, you know, which I think it's been probably 2 weeks plus. So last night at 12:30, I get a text from him, And this is a Catholic that's never read a Bible before that told me that since I talked to him at that dinner, that all he's heard from, he hears on television, he hears people talking, just all he's heard is, you know, forgiveness, 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 you know, and that's the last I left it with him, and I hadn't talked to him since, and I wasn't going to get into the works. I just, I knew that if he truly wanted to change, it wasn't going to be me hounding him to read his Bible or anything like that. I just handed him the Bible and told him to read Matthew, and if he had any questions, call me. And last night I did a text that says, is it okay to forgive but not share that forgiveness with them? Just leave it. Forget the anger and turn the other cheek. So when I saw that, turn the other cheek, I knew he was reading his Bible. And I thought, this is awesome. And in me, my flesh wanted to sleep that I'll talk to him in the morning. But I knew that, I mean, you know, he's up. I need to get up and text him back. And I just text him back, I wanted to try to be weak to the weak because I know he's probably, yes, last night was probably the first time he opened the Bible or, you know, I don't know that, but I'm assuming. But it sounds like he's been reading it. So I just texted him back. I said, yes, it is a willingness to forgive from the heart and not just saying it in your head. Some people, it takes a little longer to get there with. Some people, it takes a little longer to get there with. And you have to, I'm having a hard time reading this. It says, okay. Some people, it takes a little longer to get there with. And you've got to keep giving them to the Lord and saying you will forgive until when the name comes up, there is no anger or emotion or anything stirred up in you. That's when you know you have forgiven from your heart. Some are easier than others, but it is a willingness to forgive between you and God. He will show you, and it is a process. Do not be surprised if one day he shows you some kid that, now this is being weak to the weak, I said some kid that beat the crap out of you in the fifth grade and you haven't seen him since, you still need to forgive him. If God brings him to your mind, you need to forgive. And so he ended up text me back, stay in touch with a bunch of exclamation points, which I thought was pretty cool. And then at 3:44 in the morning, he texted me, and I think he was asking me, you know, am I up, which I didn't get until this morning. So at that point, I just texted him back and told him that, you know, he can call if he's got, you know, at any time. And but I just see the Lord. I don't know if he was up reading his Bible till that time or, you know, what was going on, but I didn't hear anything from him today. I just, you know, told him that you know, if he ever wants to call, if he's got a question, you know, please give me a call. So that's answered prayer. I mean, that's just the Lord working on his heart. And you know, which is just awesome. So, and that's something else I saw, is I saw a lot of bound up people, and you know, he was probably the most bound up I saw. And but the Lord is bringing him to a place of weakness. I mean, he's really breaking him, and you know, he's on anxiety medications and, you know, but I share testimony with him, and I know that that the Lord's going to deliver him and set him free. Did you want to say something, Michael Harris?
Yeah, I've got a kind of a small testimony similar to that. The other day, last week sometime, I got a call on my phone, and I was busy at the time, and I couldn't answer it. And I looked at it later, and it was an old friend of mine back from high school day that I hadn't heard from in, gosh, years. And one day, and then the next day, I thought about it again. I said, well, I'll just give him a call and see what he wanted. And what had happened was it was a pocket call. He still had my number in his phone, and he had pocket called me, and he told me that. He said, I must have just pocket called you. He said, yeah, I saw it too. He said, I don't know what happened. But anyway, we got to talking, and I told him a little bit, you know, about what I was doing, and he wanted to know about it, you know, and I said, well, if you got time, I can talk to you. He said, well, I can't right now, but I sure want to get back with you and talk with you about some things. And what I had shared with him, I had told him, I said, his name was Frankie. I said, Frankie, I knew his background was Church of Christ, and his family were all Church of Christ, and I told him, I said, Frankie, you know, we're in some critical times now. And I said, you need to read the Bible for yourself and don't allow man to teach you. I said, the word says to allow no man to teach you, to only allow the Holy Spirit to teach you. I said, when you read the word yourself and you ask the Lord to show you what it means, he'll do that. And I just kind of left it at that. And he said, you know, I've been thinking about that quite a bit lately. And he said, man, I'd like to sit down and talk with you sometime. I said, well, anytime you get ready, just give me a call. And I thought that was awesome because I know his background. He was a teacher in the secular schools. But he was a good guy. He's always been pretty good guy. But he's searching, you know, he's looking now. And I thought that was awesome. And when the Lord leads, we'll get in touch with him again and talk with him, and hopefully we'll bear some fruit there.
Yeah, it seems like whenever you have somebody you're going to talk to in your life, you might mention something or you see something in their life that they need to, you know, that's troubling them. And so you bring up a few things, you talk to them about Christ and forgiveness or whatever else you think that's coming to your mind that might help them start, you know, examining their life and their path. And you're wondering, well, did that go anywhere? You just kind of walk away, and also 6 months or a year later, also this person's, you know, it did stir something. It worked on them, and all of a sudden, and they're trying to find God. They're trying to seek him out. They're trying to correct their ways. And I've had that happen now with 3 people at work. It's amazing how just one little conversation can direct their life. Not that you're the one that's doing it, but you just kind of walk in at the moment and you have a little boldness, but it's same humility, and you're just kind of sharing a little bit, and all of a sudden that's just all I needed to hear. That was what they needed at that moment to get them back on track. It's like I have a woman that's probably in her 50s, and I could tell she was, you know, just having difficulties, you know, with her husband that she's been with forever, and, you know, just not having a lot of unforgiveness, and just a lot of, you know, things weren't right in her life. But she had a good heart. But you just start talking about God around her, and you could see that wasn't in the forefront of her mind. It was just something she'd been holding back. But it still stirred something. And all of a sudden, here it is, 6 months later, 7 months later, I see her, and she says, yeah, I've been thinking about God a lot, you know, and I just can't, you know. And I said, oh, that's great. And we started talking some more, and I, I thought, I shared more about forgiveness. I shared more about the gospel, and by grace you've been saved through faith, and because she's feeling the condemnation spirits coming on her, and I was trying to say condemnations from Satan. I said, sure, there's repentance, but then if you're repenting and turning, and the condemnation is not God, and giving that kind of information, I ended up leaving her with a couple books that I bought some extra ones from. The Curse of Unforgiveness and the Power of the Tongue. No, not the Power of the Tongue. Anyways, Salvation is Progressive. So it's just being able to be there at the right moment for sometimes, and it doesn't, you're thinking, well, you don't know if it's going to go anywhere, because at the moment you're talking to them in their life, they're not, overly receptive sometimes. You're thinking you just had the door put in your face, but it's amazing you weren't the one doing the knocking. Somebody else was actually knocking on your heart, and then all of a sudden you come back a few months, 6 months, a year later, and all of a sudden, that door has been opened, and now it's time to walk in. They may not have it all together. They're starting to get off the ground, but you know what? The Lord's there. He's opening their heart, and he's bringing them into the kingdom.
Amen. No, that's so true. And the thing is we have no idea the seeds that we have planted just speaking to people or speaking into somebody's life or sharing something with them or sharing a testimony. We have no idea how that seed has grown, or even people that we might see in Walmart that we pray for that are, on drugs or in a wheelchair or whatever it is. When we just stop and pray for them, we have no idea what God did with that prayer and how many people have been delivered, healed, whatever it is. And which is fine, but it's just, I'm sure it's mind-boggling how many seeds we planted that we don't even know. As far as that, just sharing something with somebody, sharing a word of encouragement, sharing some truth or whatever it is, and where that's gone. I remember the first time that happened to me was actually with Trisha's brother, and he lived out in California, and he worked, basically they had like halfway homes, people that were coming out of like drug rehab. They would provide homes for them and try to get them acclimated back into society and try to, make sure they'd stay clean and stuff like that. So they had a bunch of homes, and he was a believer, not a real strong, Christian, but he was a believer, and it was, and he came out of that. I mean, he had an awesome testimony. He had lapsed back into the drugs and into the drinking, and he was part of this rehab center, and he had lapsed back, and it was the grace of God that Trish even got in touch with him. She hadn't talked to him in, I don't even know, probably 8-10 years or something, and somehow Trish got his number and from her dad or something, and I don't know how it all came about, but she had gotten in touch with him, and then we started to speak into his life. And but anyways, he had gone back into the drugs, and he wanted to come out. We were living in Ohio. He wanted to come out to Ohio, and he got off the plane, and he was all all messed up. And he came into our house, and we were still in the church then, but we knew deliverance. And And he wanted to get clean. He wanted to get off the drugs and off the alcohol and stuff like that. And I remember, you know, we just, you know, he was willing to do it. And I think he had one seizure when he was there with us and stuff. And we were just praying over him and that. And I took him to a Bible study, and it was with, you know, Tom Kruger and a couple other guys. And man, we prayed over him. He got filled with the Holy Spirit, speaking in tongues, delivered. I mean, it was awesome. It was awesome. And he ended up, he went back out to California. And, I mean, just this was God, too, because Trish hadn't been in touch with him for so long. And then he came into our lives, and then he got saved. And, I mean, just filled with the Holy Spirit. And he was living with a girl, and they got married. And, I mean, it was just all these amazing things were happening. And one day Trish says, hey, I really think I need to go out to California and see my brother. And I said, well, yeah, that's fine. And we just had Luke, I think he was, you know, maybe a year old or something or under. And she wanted to go out to California, see her family. I was like, yeah, that's fine. But, you know, her brother was on her heart. She ended up going out there. And her brother died the day Trish was staying with him. And but the Lord, you know, it was just all, you know, she was able to see him, you know, right before that. And, you know, she was the one that actually found him. And but it was all God at the time. We just saw the Lord in it. And so I ended up flying out there to go to the funeral. And, you know, he worked with all these guys that were in the rehab and that, and they were all at the funeral. And afterwards, I remember, I don't even know what it was, but there were certain things that I would say, you know, I just knew that I had talked into him, you know, something, you know, is that really going to matter 5 years from now or something? I don't even know what it was, but I'd shared something with him that really he grasped onto, and it was like, you know, he, you know, it's just another way of looking at something, and it helped him get, you know, get a grasp on something. And I'm at this funeral, and this other, you know, guy that he worked with in the rehab came up to me and he says, you know what, when Robert told me this, I mean, it really changed how I looked at things. And this guy was all lit up sharing what, you know, Trish's brother had shared with him that really hit home with him. And, you know, he was all excited. And I knew that came from me. The Lord was showing me that that seed I planted into Trish's brother was planted into this other guy and the other guys in that rehab. And it affected this guy. And I didn't even know about him. So there is so many seeds out there that have been watered, you know, we don't even know as far as that we've shared, that who we prayed for, whatever it is, but that we don't even know about. And I think it's, you know, and we don't need to know about it, but it's just, I just know there's just a ton out there. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. Praise you, Father, for your words that we're sowing out there in your kingdom. Thank you, Father.
And Father, we just thank you for just using us to sow and to water and teach us to be led of you, to be led of your Spirit, to not have fear of man on us when we need to speak, and to be totally led of you, Lord. And we just praise you for that in Jesus' name. Amen.
Lord, I'd like to thank you for, even though we're imperfect vessels ourselves, sharing your perfect word, that you allow us to go through and do this. That we know that we may have failed that day before, but you have us out doing your work the next day. It's you just say, dust it off and get to work. You're not necessarily holding anything against us. You're for us. You're not against us. And we love you, Father, for loving us. Help us to love you more and to love others the way you want, us to love them and the way you love them. Give us the insight we need and the heart we need to be a bold witness for you, Father, with your love. We thank you in this name of Jesus Christ.
Amen. Yeah, when we go shopping or stuff like that, I always pray, Lord, just use me. And it doesn't happen all the time, but when it does, you know, it's just kind of funny because a lot of times I'll head, you know, to the checkout and I'm throwing stuff on, you know, that, and then I'll start talking to the cashier and that, and Trish might be, you know, going to get something, one last thing or something like that, and she'll come back, and I'm in this conversation about unforgiveness or healing or praying for somebody or something like that. She just like, oh, here he goes again, you know? But I just, if the door opens, I just, you know, because the Lord is really just starting to put a compassion for people in me, and I just look at people, and I think this time I looked, and the girl that was at the checkout, all her fingernails were chewed. I mean, there was just like, it was just like, and I knew that, you know, I just saw those fingernails that she had like hardly any nails left. They'd been chewed down. And I knew that, man, she is definitely dealing with something. And so I just opened up the door and, you know, she kind of opened up. So, but sometimes you can see it in their eyes or you can see the troubleness, you know, it just, I think I shared, we went in Starbucks one day and there was a girl who just had such a heaviness on her. And I was with two other brethren, you know, brothers in the ministry with me. And I got my coffee and I walked outside and I said, did you see that heaviness on that young lady? And he's like, oh yeah, she's got a broken heart. And I said, we need to go pray for her. And I mean, she was busy. I mean, Starbucks is busy in that. We went up there and asked if she was dealing with something. She's like, yeah, can we pray for her? And she said, yeah, the middle of this busy Starbucks. And we just started praying. And we didn't care who was around us, stuff like that. I could tell she was getting a little embarrassed, you know, but it was awesome. But it was kind of neat. So I enjoy when the Lord opens the door. So, all right, who else has got a testimony?
Yes, she was probably thinking, oh, I'll go pray for me in the corner, and I don't expect to get it right here.
Well, that's it, is most people don't expect you to pray. They say, you know, yeah, I'll put you on the prayer list at church. And when you start praying, they get – all of a sudden, your eyes light up, you know. It's like, oh, man. But it's kind of funny.
I'd like to read something, if I might, Tim.
Awesome.
Okay, well, the Lord prompted me to turn over here to Psalms 119. And as most of you know, most of Psalms 119, and it's the longest chapter in the Bible. But most of it talks about seeking the Lord through His Word. So I want to read Psalms 119, 57 through 64. And it says, the Lord is my portion. I have promised to keep your words. I sought your favor with all my heart. Be gracious to me according to your word. I considered my ways and turned my feet to your testimonies. I hastened and did not delay to keep your commandments. The cords of the wicked have encircled me, but I have not forgotten your law. At midnight I shall rise to give thanks to you. How many times have y'all done that? Ooh, my goodness. Because of your righteous ordinances, I am a companion of all those who fear you and of those who keep your precepts. The earth is full of your loving kindness, O Lord. Teach me your statutes. And you know, that should be a prayer that we pray every day. Lord, teach me your statutes. Open up your word to me, Lord. give me revelations today. I need that manna today. And that should be our word every day. Amen. Did anybody hear me?
No, I was just talking to you, Don.
I figured as much.
No, that was good. I mean, when you said that we're companions of those who fear the Lord, I mean, that's what this fellowship is. That's who we're fellowshipping with, or we're trying to fellowship with, because there's a lot of people out there that don't fear the Lord and think that they're just going to fly away and that they're, you know, once saved, always saved. And it's a whole different spirit on those people than the people that are, you know, living the crucified life and understand the fear of the Lord. Because when you think that, you know, you're once saved, always saved, there's no fear there. Well, what do you got to fear? So it's all about going to heaven, and they've got their ticket punched, and what do you need to fear? So that's pretty good. But it's, you know, asking the Lord to teach us, because we are just man. We are, you know, He needs to open it up. He needs to open our eyes, and if He doesn't do it, I mean, you know, but He will. That's really good. All right, who's got something that's, anybody had any dreams they'd like to share? Has anybody else had any tsunami dreams or any warning dreams or any martial law dreams, anything like that? It's awfully quiet.
It is.
Tim?
Yeah. Yeah. Hey, Gail.
Yeah, I had a question about what David talked about last night, about CERN, and he said not to be concerned because the demons are already here. What I'm wondering if the opening of the pit is that still to happen? Is that supposed to happen? The bottomless pit is supposed to happen in Revelation, right? So that's not CERN, I guess.
No, God is sovereign, and there's. I think Michael might know a little bit deeper.
Yeah, nothing in the natural can open up anything in the spiritual, okay? They're already here. I mean, they're saying that CERN is going to open up a hole that would allow Satan to come out. What are you talking about? For goodness sake, Satan's been out here on the earth for a long time. For a long time. He's been bugging me, I know, for a long time, ever since I've been alive. Now, as far as that bottomless pit thing, I think that starts, that's something that gets loosed, Midway? That's in the great and terrible day of the Lord, which is the last 3.5 years. And that's something the Lord does. That's nothing that man can do. Man can't do that. Man cannot open up a spiritual realm to allow demons in. They're already here. My goodness, we got more demons now around us than you can imagine. Yeah.
So that would happen, is to happen at the seventh trump, right? The day of the Lord, the opening of the pit?
I'm thinking that it opens at mid, but I could be mistaken. Somebody else might be able to help me out here. But I think that's when it opens up. The Lord opens up the bottomless pit where all them bad demons are.
Yeah, the big guys. Yeah, okay.
Yeah, big bad boys. But we got some big bad boys now. But, you know, here's the deal right here. In Luke chapter 10 and verse 19, it tells us all we need to know. And that is that He has given us authority over all, and all don't leave nothing out. It don't leave a thing out. He's given us authority over all the power of the enemy. What's the enemy? I don't care if they come from the bottomless pit, CERN, ever where it is. We have authority over them. We have authority now. We'll have authority then. In fact, we'll have more authority. We'll have more because we'll know more by then. You know, those who are still walking that path of righteousness. So, no, that we got all the demons, you know, taken care of by the word of God and the blood of Christ. So we don't worry about it. There's going to be, look, there's going to be devastation. There's going to be death. Y'all all know that. Y'all have read Revelation. You know that a third of mankind is going to die during the first couple of trumps. A third of them. A third of the world is going to be hacked out. A third of the oceans are going to be messed up. Die. That's what it says. And all the ships on the ocean in that third is going to go down. You know, but we don't worry about that. That's God's business. Our business is here to believe and to evangelize. That's our job, is to believe and to, you know, bring people into the kingdom.
Michael.
Do whatever God, to be led by the Spirit of God is what he wants us to do. Yes, go ahead, Barbara.
I was just thinking when all that devastation happens, you know, there's all that loss of life. Someone was saying, I think it was Belinda, but it really, really made a lot of sense. Like all those demons that were in those people, they're going to be looking for a new place to dwell. You know, when they come out of those people who have lost their lives, you know, all them demons that were in them.
Well, that's absolutely correct.
Yeah, that's something. That's a lot of demons there.
That's a lot of demons. But you know, God's got more. those demons ain't got a chance. When people understand and walk in their authority in Christ, then God's going to back them up in everything that they do and say. We've seen it happen here so many times. We're seeing it now in a miraculous way. People are getting set free from lifelong bondages in just a matter of a little while, because people are starting to get this thing about authority. We do have the authority, and we believe when we pray, and that's all of us right here, we believe when we pray that miracles are going to happen. Because we believe what the Word of God says, and we trust the Lord to fulfill what he's told us. And I believe that with all my heart. I believe we are a powerhouse of God's prayer team. So, yeah, there's going to be demons, but they're already out there. We don't worry about them. We have that authority. Amen.
Right. Well, that's really what it is the only door that man's going to open up for the demons is in themselves through sin. And
amen.
The church doesn't understand their authority. But the Satanists, they understand their authority. And the Satanists are taking their authority and commanding the demons, you know, through voodoo and witchcraft and spells and curses and you know, they're evil praying. They know their authority, and they're commanding those demons, and that's where they're getting their power. And a lot of time those demons are coming against Christians that have no idea what spiritual warfare is about. They don't even think that there are demons. And, you know, so because the church is lacked in their authority, they're not using it to come against what the Satanists and, you know, that are all that know their authority. And, you know, so the demons are already loosed. I mean, they're already out there, but that's just all. You know, fear and whatever. But You know, they might be opening the door where they're seeing the demons, you know, in their realm, but the demons are already here. I mean, this is their kingdom. This is their world, you know. So
it's their world if we allow it to be their world, and that's the problem right there, Tim. You hit on it right there a while ago. It's their dominion only if we allow it. And if we don't allow it, they ain't got no place to go. They got to go sit up in them pigs. And then what happened to them pigs? Them pigs going out there in that ocean and down and drowning. And then they got to go back again.
The mention of the bottomless pit with the angel, it's in Revelation 9:1. Talks about the fifth angel sounded his horn. And then he was given the key to open the bottomless pit. But at that point, what I'm seeing all the way through Revelation 9, it's the demons there that are coming out are actually, they're tormenting the non-believers, the people that are rebellious against God. So that's not anything for us to be concerned about as believers.
Well, it's just like it has been all through history, right, David?
Yep, we're just going to continue on doing our thing and bringing people in the kingdom and fighting against Satan with our own realm because we have authority. But the authority I'm seeing here with the bottomless pit, it has nothing to do with the believers. That what's going on there.
That's good. All right, anybody else? Revelation.
Tim.
Hey, Linda.
Oh, this is just a little tip that I thought of to keep us out of trouble with God. You know, we're.
Did you say a tip or a pit?
Huh? But I was just thinking of this. I was recently. Hello? I was recently at a wedding shower and asked to give a thought on how to help a new marriage, you know, be happy. And so I started talking about forgiveness, you know, we're to forgive each other 490 times a day or more if it takes that. And when two people are married, they become one. And so when one gets mad at the other, they're getting mad at themselves. When one gossips about another, they're gossiping about themselves. And then we add on the body of Christ, which we are all in on this conference call. We are one. And so when we gossip about each other, we're gossiping about ourselves. We don't want to give any area for the devil to cause confusion. We just need to continue to walk in love. But that really kind of helps me stay in shape because, I mean, you know, I don't want to sin against myself. But that's what we're doing when we gossip about each other. And so that was just a thought that I had.
No, that's a great visual. I mean, as far as, because we are a body. I mean, we are all different intricate parts of the body of Christ.
Yeah, we're one. We're one with Christ, and all of us are one. And we break the unity when we gossip about each other, even in our thoughts, I'm finding out, you know. So anyway,
that's some pretty good revelation there. That was really good.
Thank you.
All right. Anybody else like to share what's on their heart before we close out here? Or does anybody else need prayer? Well, let's pray. So, Father, we just thank you for just another night. Awesome night of coming together and in fellowship, Lord. And we just thank you for just all everybody in this room. We just thank you for just what you're doing in their lives, and we just to come to the perfection of you, perfecting Christ in all of us, Lord. And we thank you for these testimonies. We thank you for these truths. We thank you for these revelations that we can take heed and just check our thoughts, see what we're thinking, see what we're judging, see where we're, you know, just falling out as far as, out of your will, Lord. And we just thank you for that, Lord. And Lord, help us all to, just see in the areas that we may be gossiping, and help us to be of little words and to be wise with what we say, and put a watch on our lips and speak grace, speak faith, speak edification, and just see people the way you see them, and not the way our flesh sees them. And Lord, let us just walk pleasing to you in what we say. And we just thank you for just helping us in that area, Lord. And helping us to get our heart right and our thoughts right. And Lord, just convict us when they're not. And Lord, we just ask you just continue to teach us all to walk in your Spirit, and just to be led of you, Lord. Just guide and direct us in these days, Lord, and show us, Lord, if there's anything that we need to repent of or any unforgiveness that's in us, Lord. And give us dreams, Lord. Give us visions, Lord. Just open up the gifts that you've given us, Lord, and teach us to walk in them. And Lord, we just thank you for blessing everybody in this fellowship, and just blessing their week, blessing their sleep, blessing their dreams, and helping them to remember them. And we praise you for that in Jesus' name. Well, good night, everybody, and have a blessed weekend, and we'll see you all next week.